Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to our Best of GDI end of year episode. This is where our editor Joe puts together an edit of our more thought-provoking and lucid conversations on such weighty topics like global finance, philosophy, social progress, avant-garde literature, the works of Barth versus... Actually, no, this is just a highlight clip of us talking about what we ate for breakfast, entertainment, award shows, diagnosing our injuries, life issues, and of course, pie and a lot of tacos. So from us to you, happy holidays. Enjoy.
Shannon, I saw a tiny little Sookie.
Oh, yeah.
You had given us
there.
Just a tiny little Sookie.
She's like passed out.
She's totally passed out.
So
yeah.
Crazy later, isn't she?
Yeah, she will. Yeah. It'll be the witching hour.
She heard us talking. I heard her I heard her grumble. Aww. And then
hi, Ray.
Oh, she's so cute.
Hi, Ray.
Oh, look, there's Odie.
He says, hello. This is what I do when mom is doing her show. I sleep.
Lee's very, very well behaved.
I mean, that's all this guy does.
Yeah, all three of our dogs are just bored. That's going
on. They are. They're bored with us.
He's like, let me know when you're done talking. Yeah,
so the way I have experienced this has been a particular video gets taken down. Mm-hmm. And it says, this video is claimed to have copyright content. And then I immediately say, no, it doesn't. You got three strikes all in a row. I understand that. The complaints came so fast that you built up the three strikes. But how did it get all the way to a strike without you knowing about it?
It was just, the first day it was like, you have a strike. A day later, you have a second strike. If you have three strikes, your channel goes away. I'm like, well, there's no way I'm going to get three of these. Next day, third strike.
This is the thing that underlies this whole conversation for me is you have paid money for the right to play the music.
Yeah.
All the other content in these videos is yours. You generated it.
Yeah. When they struck, or the stuff that got hit is from a time where we played the songs live on the show.
Yeah, right. I remember we stopped doing that in
2015 for the reason of
just to avoid trouble.
We know we paid for it. We know it's legit, but YouTube gives us zero way of verifying.
Do you know who the originating strike issuer is? The complaint issuer?
I mean? Say it's like finding out your neighbor said, "Hey, your neighbor says your dog poops on his lawn, so we've taken your house." Put your dog in a kennel.
We locked up your house.
Yeah, we've locked up your house. You can't get in.
In 90 days, you might be able to go back in.
Yeah, what neighbor was it, I would ask? And they'd say, oh, we can't tell you that. Well, what can I do? Well, you can click this button and just tell us why.
You can fill out this form and send it through the mail saying you dispute that. And someday, maybe someone will look at it. I got in a discussion, it wasn't even an argument, with a guy on Twitter who's like, well, wait a minute, though. This YouTube is huge. It's really hard for them. They're going to make mistakes. And I'm like, yeah, man, I was making these exact statements 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I still believe it. Like, yeah, it is hard for YouTube and it's going to take a while for them to figure it out. But at this point, they should have a better way of doing this. This shouldn't happen to you. I've seen this happen so many times to so many people. I've had to fight it myself. I'm just kind of tired. My patience has run out. And it's not that I hate YouTube. It's not that I'm even taking the DTNS channel off of YouTube. I'm not. I'm not protesting. I'm not throwing down things in anger, but I'm certainly kind of just done. I'm not excited about this.
And I'm hugely sympathetic to what a big company has to do to manage all of this.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
It's a big deal. I get it. I understand how this stuff
can go. I couldn't do it. It's too big. I'm not saying this will be true for everyone. I'm not saying this is the death of YouTube. Don't try to read in a bunch of other stuff in here. I'm just saying for me, that kind of doesn't make sense anymore.
Man, just tossing me to the curb like that was... Yeah.
And again, I think it's worth repeating. You didn't break any law.
I don't want to fight with YouTube, so I'm going to just not play the songs. I'm going to put them in post, which means it also took more time and effort for me to do it in post. Like, there's all these like add-on knock-on effects that I'm just that I tried to accommodate a thing I was already not, you know, doing anything illegal with.
Well, you should obviously sue the people who gave you the takedown notice. That is the way this is set. It's illegal for them to issue a false claim. So there you go, Scott. No problem.
Yeah, I just need a pro bono lawyer friend.
And then Well, and also the identity of the people issuing the takedown.
Yeah, no kidding, dude. Let me face my accusers. There's got to be some kind of something for that.
Because CES is not going to Vegas. CES is CES, and it dominates all. And any time in my past that I've tried to fit something else in while I'm trying to do CES, both suffer.
The game or just your enjoyment of?
No, me, Roger.
I'm sorry.
You two definitely have that we just spent 4 days together doing nothing but looking at each other energy.
we had a lovely ride home. We were sat next to each other on the plane yesterday. We had a lovely ride home, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. It just, you know.
Roger, didn't we?
You can always tell.
Did we what? I'm sorry. I was working at a piece of cookie for my molars.
Oh, man. Really? Really? Oh, my goodness. Sarah Lane, you're back.
I'm back. A very large tree. You know, hundreds of tons of tree fell on my property. And yesterday I was not sure if I was living in a safe zone. So, it was a little touch and go for a while.
Did the tree hit your house?
No, it did not.
Okay.
But
so like, weren't sure where it was going next.
Exactly. Yeah. The tree kind of went parallel to where I live.
Mm-hmm.
But was at the top of a hill where it could roll down and still crush me, kind of thing. Yeah.
And not wanting to be crushed is a reasonable reaction, I think.
Totally. The not only the internet, but literally the power to, 100 houses in this entire area are all attached to that tree.
And I asked her which utility company was it?
PG&E.
PG&E, Roger.
Of course. Yeah. Yes. Who else would it be to muck up something else? So the tree, there is part of the tree that is still standing, and there's a lot of power lines attached to the tree. The tree has to come down, and they're going to put up, you know, like a, I don't know, like a telephone pole in its place. And that is sort of like TBD. Who knows when that's going to happen?
Oh, my God. That's so PG&E to attach power lines to a tree that is known to rot. She has gone through fire, flood, and falling trees for this show.
You should be in a James Taylor song.
And I said back to Tom, I'm like, why did I leave LA again? Sidewalks sound so great. Just living in civilization.
And so we've been following the tree saga. It is secured from rolling down the hill onto Sarah, and now today being dismembered.
What, a piece like that, and there might be maybe 70 of them that have to come down over the course of the day, are like hundreds of pounds each. You can't just let them fall into the street and like hope for the best.
Right.
You have to wrap them, and then once the chainsaw lets it loose, then you lower it down slowly like a person.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, and then there's a. It's amazing that you guys can't hear what's going on. I feel like it's, Armageddon out there.
Where did it get to a point where we're just going to have deodorants named after people? Just like up and up people. like
smell like Brad's pits.
Yeah, or it'll be like you'll have the Charlton Heston or, you know, Charles Bronson, like, you know.
If they have like perfume and cologne named after celebrities,
yeah, that's
like, why not? Why not the other?
Yeah, why not the other?
Well, no.
Like Elizabeth Taylor deodorant, 24-hour deodorant.
Oh, is that Julia Roberts?
The problem is none of us can touch each other anymore. So, you know, you're going to get a whiff and be like, somebody's wearing Julia. I love that. Instead of bumping elbows, you're encouraged to get close and sniff. Nice to meet you.
Not too close.
It would be kind of like a dance, right? Like you're like, do you want to meet? And then the other person's yes. And you have to like decide that 7 feet away from each other. And then you walk up, sniff and, you know, in unison. And then that's it.
I use this natural deodorant brand called Myro, and it does smell nice, but it's the same sort of like, for example, one scent is called Big Dipper.
The Giant Dipper, I don't know if you've all ridden the Giant Dipper.
I've seen it.
But I have like, I don't know how many what times.
Does it have a
ride.
Flinty smell?
It's not flinty, but at the beginning of the ride, you go into a tunnel before you kind of like climb and do the big drop. And you can't see anything in the tunnel, you know, and it's sort of like a scary way to start the ride. It's not really a scary ride. It's really fun. But that tunnel smells like a model train, kind of like a mixture of soot and, I don't know, old wood. Because it's old. It's like there's something about it that I can smell it right now just talking about it. And it's like because it's exciting. And when you're a kid, you're like, I'm on a roller coaster. And it has smelled that way as long as I've been alive. Like it's just the way it smells, which I associate with fun. If someone smelled like the Big Dipper tunnel, I would be really into it.
Like you smell fun.
You smell like a really good day.
It is an interesting coincidence that today is Taco Tuesday and Cinco de Mayo, so you can make up both.
Oh,
so true.
I feel extra bad, but I gotta have.
Does Taco Bell have anything?
Maybe I'll put the lasagna in a taco.
Yeah,
just fold some lasagna in a tortilla.
Yeah, lasagna taco, lasagna burrito.
Yeah,
but it's Taco Tuesday, so. Lasagna has cheese and ground beef. What's better in a taco than cheese and ground beef?
You could use a small tortilla and make it a soft lasagna taco.
Yeah, soft lasagna taco. Basically, the pasta, the lasagna noodle
There's
itself.
No hard lasagna taco.
Yeah. The lasagna itself is just a soft taco if you fold it up.
I don't know.
You put it on a macaroni and cheese.
This sounds a little crazy.
I'm just trying to get the most taco
Cinco
de Mayo out of my lasagna that I can.
Some of culinary history's greatest achievements were because someone was crazy. Literally.
I understand.
Literally.
I'm just saying for the record.
Check your history, Lane.
You know, this whole lasagna burrito thing sounds a little crazy.
It's just, you know what? You know what's just
mad.
And someday when you go to Las Vegas, you will sit down at the taco lasagna restaurant and read on the menu how this was invented during the pandemic of 2020
by none other than Tom Merritt.
When Tom Merritt found it was Taco Tuesday and Cinco de Mayo, and all he had was lasagna.
I'm going to throw you under the bus pretty hard right now for just a second, and you can go ahead and hate me for it. But if you ever wanted to do your own Live With It segment, I wonder if you couldn't try to live with a keyboard where you actually type the way that traditional people learned how to type on keyboards. You got 3 months.
I understand the direction of this. What would that product be?
A keyboard and you learning how to type properly.
But that's but not a function of the keyboard, is it?
I have a keyboard.
Doesn't matter. We're not talking about that.
Okay, so it's not living with a new keyboard. You're saying live with.
You're living with a new reality.
Oh, so he's living with Mavis Beacon teaches typing.
This is Sarah's very kind way of saying learn to type.
Learn to type, you jerk. When I see it in person, I'm just like, okay, breathe through it. How do you do it? How do
you
do it?
Typing.
Trust me, I have.
But anymore? Now that.
No, but I know you do.
You still imagine it.
Everybody shut up. Listen to me for a second. I feel like you've gotten so far in life with the hunt and peck where most people are very bad typers. You're a really good typer because of this. but how good would you be if you typed really appropriately? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. You're not alone in this, by the way. Okay. I remember Natalie Del Conte when she was Natalie Del Conte, not Natalie Morris. So that's how long ago it was. Yeah. Just like openly laughing at me when she was like, what are you doing? Typing. I'm like, I don't know. That's how I type.
Is it not that he's just whacking the keys hard, or is that it?
No, he uses his two index fingers to type.
He doesn't actually type.
I didn't know that. You're like my dad, except he did it with the birds. He did it with the middle fingers.
That's even weirder.
It is weird. I agree. It was weird. It looked like he's flipping us all up upside down or flipping us off. But
I almost went into couch collecting. Like I wanted to just buy and collect couch.
Couch?
Not private. But I was thinking, sofa? It was like a sofa. And I was thinking at some point I would need a giant, I would have to like buy a warehouse in the sticks just to have this huge collection.
The comfiest collector.
I just, for some reason, it just kind of stuck with me for like a year because I was shopping for a couch. It's like, I really like all these couches.
I'll just collect them all.
I think we need to call the Bravo Network and get this man a show. I see this happening right now.
Right? Yeah.
What would you call that? Like a person who collects sneakers is a sneakerhead. A couch head or like
I just have anxiety about where you're going to put all these couches.
About a sofa snagger.
That works.
That's like a euphemism and a really bad one.
Yeah.
Don't ask what it means.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
I would like to apologize to Twitter for being on it.
Usually a very uncontroversial follow. If anything, when you wade into issues, you're usually there to try and offer the sage.
Like, hey, guys, let's wisdom. Just, you know, yeah, let's just realize that it's not all. Yeah, right.
But much as even the most wizened gods still have old beef from the Titans, there are things that will still get your goat. And it seems as if the Joe Rogan to Spotify thing is part of it, so much so that you wanted to draw a rhetorical line in the sand.
Really, this whole thing gets resolved if you think about it as Joe Rogan's now doing a show for Spotify. No one would get upset if there was no podcast and Spotify said, guess what? We're going to do the Joe Rogan show.
You were trying to play a peacemaker and say, here indeed is the hole in the sheet. Like, let's just not think of it as losing a podcast.
Well,
think of it as gaining a Spotify original.
I made the cardinal sin of a journalist, which was to forget that other people aren't journalists. And I wrote like, hey, Joe Rogan Experience, when it goes exclusive to Spotify, is a Spotify show, not a podcast, and we should refer to it as such. Meaning, when I write things on DTNS, I will call it a Spotify show to make it clear that it's a Spotify show that we're talking about, not a widely distributed podcast. And hence, peace in our time, Justin. The whole controversy evaporates. What I forgot is that other people read that as like, hey, everybody, this is what you're going to do from now on. We can't call it a podcast. That's giving it too much credit. And that's not really what
I read it more as Joe Rogan has left this realm and now is assuming another phase.
I think a lot of people hung that on it. And I get why.
So it's a form of podcast transcendentalism. Yep.
Let's check out the mailbag.
You know, we got a lot of feedback on our special Time to Listen episode of DTNS yesterday. If you haven't listened to it, I hope you do. And I hope you get something out of it. And we got so much good feedback. We don't have time for it here, but just wanted to read some excerpts of a few. One person said, the stories told by those I've listened to for years touched me and gave insight I have never had so clearly. Will you pick this up, please, Tom?
Oh, sure. The stories listened for years touched me. It gave insight I've never had so clearly. Another person said, I know about the inequality either due to race or economics or both. But knowing isn't feeling or understanding. I'll probably never be able to understand, but your podcast did something that most other reporting has failed to do. For me, it went beyond the facts and hit me on a more personal level. Thank you and your correspondents for this gift. Another person said, I normally write off shows and segments like what you did on Monday as pure virtue signaling. In the case of DTNS, however, your years of apolitical reporting, which I am immensely thankful for, have given you a level of credibility that other outlets simply don't have. As a result, I was happy to listen, really listen, and I now have a better appreciation and perspective. I imagine the decision for this episode wasn't easy, and I imagine you published this episode knowing that you'd get some blowback, probably even people exclaiming that they'd be canceling their Patreon subscriptions. I applaud your courage. Thank you for yielding the DTNS platform to share the voices of the Black community in this moment. Those are from different people, those sentiments, but they're representative of the vast majority of people. And our Patreon right now is down 6 patrons on the month, which is about normal. As people get charged at the beginning of the month, they tend to go like, oh, wait, I can't really afford that. So it seems like that is not a factor either.
And let me just take one second to really, from the bottom of my heart and on behalf, at least from Rob and I'm sure Brother Tech, thank the folks that took time to listen and comment and share their thoughts. Because the reality is, when you have a conversation like this, you really do think twice about putting these type of stories out, because you're bearing your soul. And you're putting your perspective out there that you're not sure that people are going to get. And the idea is not to preach or to beat you down or to shame anybody. We just want people to understand the world is different. And we took, you know, the time, because it was a real conversation. It was a real portrait into our lives. And and you always worry about the response, and seeing the response all day today and most of yesterday has absolutely blown me away. And I just have to say thank you. And I appreciate the folks that took the time to listen and offer comments on it.
Thanks, man.
I have threatened my wife that if things go really south, I'll try to jump the Golden Gate Bridge in it.
Oh, well, that's uplifting.
Yeah.
Wait,
at first the Golden Gate
Bridge? What would you be jumping?
Off of it with the car.
You would drive off the Golden Gate.
No, not off. I would hire a ramp to sit there for perhaps the first 2 minutes or whatever, and to see how fast I could go. I'll clear the suspension line. It's
very elaborate.
It is.
Yeah, like you've really thought. I mean, there's so much.
I have the music picked out, and then I know what would go on the headstone and all the rest of it.
Here's so Roger being like, how weird that you would name your car, but I've got music picked out for when I drive my car triumphantly off the Golden Gate Bridge from a ramp.
Yes.
I definitely used to think of letters and numbers as having colors.
Really?
Yeah.
That are unique? Like you have 26 different colors?
Like the letter B is yellow.
Wow, that's a new one.
C is blue, D is green. Is that because kind of like a light blue gray?
Yeah, maybe like in preschool that was,
I don't know,
like you had,
yeah,
some blocks that, right, just, right, stuck. But I mean, yeah, again, the alphabet, childhood, at least the, you know, American English alphabet, you got 26 different colors. Like, are you thinking of what W is?
Yeah, it's kind of an off gray.
It looks
and
like
X is black and Z is brown.
What about H?
It's orange.
My gosh. What is happening right now?
He has a specific form of, is it?
That's really cool. No, I've,
it's like an
never
internal synesthesia.
What's, yeah, what's R?
R is really dark brown, almost black. Wow. Yeah.
You should make a, like a, I don't know, some sort of a swatch, an alphabet swatch.
Uh-huh.
Make it like a friendship.
Have somebody knit you an alphabet scarf. When someone's like, that's a very interesting color pattern, you can be like, it's the alphabet.
Oh, it's the alphabet. Yeah. Well, yeah. I see what you're saying. Like, you don't have the letters on there. You just have the colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then would I look at it and go, ooh, could you spell things? And would I then be able to tell you?
I mean, sad. Some alternative universe accessibility.
I don't know if it
thing
would work that way, though, because it's when I picture the letter, it has a color, right? But when I look at a color, I don't think the letter.
A letter.
Uh-huh.
So when you see a dark brown, you don't automatically think, hey, yeah, what's, yeah, R doing on that pants?
That is really cool. Is there a hot pink in there?
J.
I'm trying to think. No, I don't think so.
Huh.
See, but that's the thing. It's really hard for me to go from the color to the letter. Tell me the, yeah, letter, I'll give you,
yeah,
the color.
You know.
What color is J?
It's like a purplish blue.
T?
What?
T.
Light pink.
There's your
T pink. Is light pink.
P. Okay. P. The letter P.
Oh, P.
Oh, I mean T like in T.
Oh, T is orange.
T is
but
in
it's
tea,
like a dark orange.
Hmm. Well, I'm blown away. in a good way. It's just,
it's
I've
a
just,
weird thing. I know. Yeah.
I mean, I always thought I was weird to type everything in my head.
Right.
But this is more interesting than that. Yeah. All I think of when I think of Zynga is like, that's where I used to work.
The building. Yeah.
The building.
Oh, yeah. There was a picture in one of the stories I read where I'm like,
yeah,
oh, it's 650
yeah, yeah,
Townsend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't have the huge Zynga Z's at
no,
every
it,
level.
Yeah.
You know,
it was definitely, yeah, they made it their own. But because mm-hmm. It's such a weird building.
It was designed to mimic, from what I was told by building management, designed to mimic a cruise ship. And oh. So the center of the building is where the office and all the floors are off to one side. And the idea is that you look over it and you could have a fashion show in the center.
Yeah. No, instead it was just a big empty space. Like, I don't think we ever really used it for anything.
But now that doesn't matter because a single entity owns everything. I mean, back then we only rented leased two floors.
Yeah, it was the Sega building back then because Sega had
was,
the name on the
side. It was the
building.
Sega building. That's right.
But we had because when they sold everybody, because they sold ZDNet to CNET, they sold us to Paul Allen, they sold Key Media off. Some people left, but CNET kept ZDNet there, and they had to do this weird thing where a bunch of people moved their desks down to the fourth floor where the CNET section was, but we were still in the same, like, there wasn't any actual separation. You just had to observe an invisible line, like, oh, that's where the CNET thing was. And of course, in their break room, they had 25-cent sodas in their vending.
I took advantage of it.
Look at that. Do you remember there was, it wasn't every Friday, but there was like a, maybe once a month, it would be like a, it was like Tech TV Social, and they'd give us all candy.
Yeah, what was it called?
That,
something
that was
Tuesday.
Yeah, it was a Tuesday, yeah. I think. And like all, I would just hoard
it.
And so in my, you know, in my drawer, in my cube, I had like all the great stuff because I wouldn't eat it right away.
They wouldn't let me keep food in my desk anymore. I remember that because building came up to me and said, you along with the other person you know of, your desks are
right, like
are,
a rat problem or something.
Yeah.
They did get mad when I would take some of the panels out of my
out
of my cube so that I could see the person on the other side. Like Kevin Rose was on the other side, and we were like, we you know, like we want to like pass notes. Yeah. And the maintenance people would come by every now and again and be like, please put the panel back up on your cube. It was always floated to me as like, Sarah, you know, you need to abide by the rules for safety. And I'm like,
but I don't know what's unsafe about the panel being missing.
I don't know. Oh, I do remember one of management, and this is why we couldn't play football anymore, threw a football and nailed one of the sprinklers and it caused a flood. And that was the no playing ball.
2 years down the road, somebody's playing football and they're like, you can't play football. And the person says, well, why can't I play football? And they're like, I don't know. That's the rule. Because nobody remembers it's because of the sprinkler thing anymore, right?
The center of the building's empty. You can overlook it, right? You overlook the railings, this big empty space, and you're thinking, paper airplane. Nope. You can't fling anything off or throw
it. Because by the time that paper airplane got to the ground, it would have built up a dangerous amount of velocity.
Yes. Do you remember the email from HR that said, okay, before we used to have casual Fridays, and then they just told everyone's like, yeah, you don't have to be dressed. Like, you don't have to be dressed to the nines to show up at work. You could just show up in jeans and a t-shirt.
Because we were all in power suits the rest of the time.
The rest of us in Call for Help and screensavers like, oh, we weren't supposed to be dressing in jeans and t-shirts, go to work.
I had come to work in like a, I don't know, like an oversized hoodie or something. Kathy Brooks at the time, she sort of walked by and I was, you know, doing whatever I was doing, doing time code on some video. And she was like, you're very casual. And I remember being like, I'm dressed. I'm wearing clothing.
I'm here. Yeah. What do you want?
I remember walking down the hall and I think it was either probably Peter Hammersley or somebody at that level or up who looked at me. I was like, tuck your shirt in. Like I had a collared shirt on, but it wasn't tucked in. And I was like, really?
So
like,
it's so funny you mentioned that. Oh my God, that would make me so mad. One of the reviews for screensavers, I remember it was from a local news reporter in the Southeast. He said he really liked the show, but what's the deal with no one tucking their shirt in? And I was just like on air. Right, it was like Leo, Patrick, and Mark.
However,
you know, back at the beginning of DTNS, I used to wear a suit coat every episode.
I remember that.
And then I moved here and was like, it's too hot. I'm not doing that.
Right. But I remember a couple people being like, hey, what changed about your wardrobe? And you're like, I'm hot.
Yeah, pretty much.
What's this behind me? Could it be a sandwich?
Is it an egg salad sandwich?
Whoa.
Cool.
That is gigantic sandwich.
Is that a katsu sandwich? Is that a piece of like...
Actually, yes, Roger, it is. I did not make the sandwich.
I know what my foods.
Are you just using Skype for that?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You can just load any image as your background.
Because I know you have
any image. Hold on.
Are you at the airport, Tom? What's going on?
Yes, I'm at the Oakland airport in 2008.
I knew you were a time traveler. I knew it.
Wow, that's a deep cut right there.
Very old picture.
Which mall is that? That's in San Jose, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Menlo Park. I guess we did a meet and greet with Kate and Leo, and Tom was there.
Patrick Beja is now behind me holding a first-generation iPhone.
Look at the size of that little iPhone.
My wallet's bigger than that.
His hands are huge.
What about a very large falafel sandwich?
Delicious.
And you can
see. Wait a minute. What is the... that's a tree.
It's a tree, yeah, because I was in my car. And then Otis is in my rearview mirror being like, please, could I have some...
Just hit a bump. Just one speed bump.
Because it was the largest falafel sandwich ever been made.
Oh,
and
right.
I bought
yeah,
it and I ate the whole thing. Do we have a Django?
Yes.
Oh.
Wow, that's a really old photo. Right? Like, or is that one
2017.
She just looks like a puppy in the photo. She's got puppy eyes.
Puppy eyes.
Yeah. She when you had food, the years fell away for that dog.
Oh yeah, I know that's the falafel eyes. I'm well aware. Really, I hate watermelon. It's the thing I hate most.
Yeah, is it because it's green on the outside and red on the inside?
Never serve Sarah a big plate of watermelon Kit Kats and French fries.
Oh.
Wait a second. You don't like French fries?
I don't like potatoes.
Well, I mean, potatoes in general, I can understand, but French fries?
That's made from potatoes.
Well, French fries aren't very French.
They're not French.
Disgusted by, I'm just like, I just don't want potatoes ever. Watermelon, however, I will leave the restaurant.
I just realized my microwave is dying. Like, The door doesn't slam shut all the way, so it doesn't turn on occasionally. It's 15 years old, and it's one of those things that I don't remember the last microwave I got, but I remember getting that one back in 2003, the current one. So it's been around. It's been a while.
Roger, treat yourself.
You're worth it, man.
Another microwave. I mean, like, these are not expensive devices.
No, but this is the thing, especially when it comes to appliances. For some reason, I think they should last forever.
That I'm looking at on Amazon is your sub $100, man. Like, this is not even a question. You just gotta get another microwave.
It just sounds like seems kind of
like a very quick decision that you could probably make during
yeah, I guess it
before
just seems
we even start, and then you would no longer have to worry about electrocuting you or your family.
But it's like so extravagant. There's something about appliance shopping that demands I physically touch and, you know, feel the product before I buy it.
Like a $20 toaster, you would need to touch it before.
$35 toaster, yes. A toaster oven, yeah. Yes.
A toaster oven, you would want to see it.
Like a laptop, I order online, sign and scene, and get it.
That's crazy. Tom, you weren't here last week, and we got into a conversation about replacing microwaves.
Oh, no. Tom was in it. He was in the chat room on it.
I was listening. Roger came to my house to shoot the Tech Republic Top Fives this weekend, and I offered him a microwave, a free microwave.
Did you take it?
Well, my microwave works. I'm just saying that the latch is a little worn, and sometimes it doesn't connect all the way, so the microwave will not turn on because it's not safe.
So no, you didn't take the free microwave.
No, I did take
the. Okay. All right. So you're still on this broken microwave that you refuse. You need to like date another microwave for a year before you can have it move in, despite the fact that it costs $15. All right.
Also, the microwave I gave him wasn't good enough. It didn't have a.
It was beggars being choosers.
Roger. Oh, a free mic, not so good for high and mighty Roger Chang.
Israeli security researchers Noam Rotem and Ron Lokar published their research Friday. Sorry, a spider was just crawling up my shoulder.
Friday the
13th. I was looking at my own shot, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Okay, the best part about that was, I don't know if you saw in the Twitch chat, Sarah, but like a couple minutes before that, someone said, did you just see a spider crawl up Sarah's camera?
I kind of looked at my shot like, is my shot okay? And I was like, that's weird. I almost see like a smoky thing over here. And then I was like, oh my God, a spider. So I ran out, you know, because I'm like scared. There's a little spider, tiny little spider that's coming down my ring light. And it looked really big because it's like much closer to the camera than I am. It's like the cutest little spider. The spider can stay, but in the shot, it looked really big. And that's the only thing that I saw. And so I, you know, because we were so like talking about like Friday the 13th, and I, you know, jinxed myself.
Seagulls are also famously anti-intellectual. That's another reason.
They're also bullies. They like steal fish out of puffins' mouths and stuff. They're real jerks.
Yeah, puffins are known as the academics of the sea.
They're brightly billed.
You've heard of chicken of the sea. Mm, well, these are puffins.
Academics of the sea. Just as tasty and with half the calories.
The intelligence.
And you feel kind of smart afterwards. I know. Great puns today, everybody.
I feel
the tone of your voice didn't seem to match the greatness, though, for some reason.
Oh, wow.
Well, the words said they were great, but the tone didn't seem to match that. That's all I'm saying.
Right, yeah.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, Visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.